you're trying to take a little bit of my shine, and I don't appreciate that. So when I win my award, I want you to stay in your seat.
And you better shout her out up there for your acceptance speech.
Oh, that's fact.
I mean, I'm sure you would.
No, I'm definitely the person. I'm definitely the individual when I'm on that stage and be like, first and foremost, I got to thank God. Like, all God be the glory that through all the suffering and trials and tribulations of my people, I stand here today. Couldn't have did this by myself. And the other person who helped me in this lifetime was my mother. Oh, yeah. So thank you, Queen. I'm going to point at her and I'm going to be like, it was you, Mama. You did that.
I love sure. that.
But nah, man. Like, honestly, I'm so very grateful that I've developed a relationship with my mother that I did not give thought to before. And the reason why that is because I actually grew up without her. So she came back in my life within the past 4 years. And within the past 4 years, we've developed a very consistent, harmonious relationship. And in so many ways, I see so much of who she is, and like, she's a Leo as well. So yeah,
inspiring.
She's a Leo as well. She's a Leo. And here's the interesting thing. My father's also an Aries. I'm like, how the fuck did you two make it work?
Oh my gosh. Because that's so much fire.
Yeah, it was. The beautiful European young lady that I dated, she was also Leo. So that was interesting. I was like, I don't like how similar you are to my mom. Like, I don't fuck with
you. That's some Freudian shit.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what's going on here? What karmic lessons do I need to learn through this life? You know what I'm saying? Like, but no, there were definitely karmic lessons learned. Oh my God. But to stay on track, again, I'm just very grateful to have built that relationship, because I remember there used to be a version of myself that was so intertwined in self-hatred. It was sad, and it was disgusting, and it was demeaning. There was a time when I said, I'm not going to date black women. I'll never forget it. And I look back at that time and see how the persona or the ego that I had developed was just that. It was the persona. It was the ego that I had formed to match the world that was around me. And let me tell you how I know I matched the world. Like, I was equal with it. There was no disturbances. There was no off balance. There was no right or wrong. I was right on the mark of what the world was saying I should be like. I'm going to tell you how I know this. In eighth grade, when I made that statement, mind you, I ended up dating a black girl in eighth grade. But when I made that statement in the environment of my home with the black woman that was raising me, it was so tumultuous. You know, I was being constantly emasculated. There was so much toxicity being poured onto me, like, on a regular basis. I'm a young black male trying to figure fucking life out. And there were so many things that I had to deal with at home. So I came to this idea of, I don't fuck with black girls. Ugh, just thinking about it, I'm like, I'm so glad that version of me doesn't even exist anymore.
You grew. It's good that you grew from that, though. Can you imagine if you hadn't, where you would be?
I don't want to imagine if I was that person still. I don't think I would be a lot. I don't think that if that was the if that was what I was hell-bent on, was my self-hatred, I don't believe, obviously I wouldn't be here today, but I would have been off of my course and my power and my purpose in life. And I don't believe I would have been allowed to stay here to cause that type of disruption. You know, like, that wasn't a part of the plan for me. It's very evident that what was a part of the plan for me was to come and be an angel. So, like, I do support the idea of being Christ-like. 100%. I don't know about being a Christian, but the idea of being sovereign, the idea of having the unconditional love for self and God and faith, compassion and empathy, respect and honor and trust and justice and forgiveness, so many beautiful things that I did not have growing up that I really didn't even fucking know. Let me tell you, I grew up in the church too. Let me be honest with you. Growing up in the black household that I did, there was no real justice. There was no real peace. There was no real forgiveness of things that happened. There was no real honesty. There was no real trust. There was a lot of circumstantial survival intertwined with some version of love. So when I say I'm grateful for my mother today, I really mean that, because there are many black boys, girls too, but black boys who, for one, like 73% of African-American households don't have a fucking father in the home, let alone a mother. So to have my mom back in my life is huge for me. And it leads me to the next question. It's actually the last question too, which is, this one's real interesting. Why do you think that marriages aren't lasting, relationships, period, are not lasting as long in our generation than to what they were for our, particularly our ancestors, right? So we're not talking about just, you know, the conditions and circumstances that it was like for Europeans. That's a totally different ballgame, right? We might watch TV and watch movies and try to live lives as they do, but we are not them. So just us, right? Post-slavery, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. Why do you think that today, in regards to the black community, just keeping it in a tight circle, why it seems as though, or statistically, I don't know who the fuck came up with these numbers, it seems like we're getting married less, and there's even more separation of us as people. Far more.
Yeah, that's really...
Think about three things. Three things you think could influence that.
I think, first and foremost, I would say definitely just the way we have evolved in America. So what I mean by that is just socially, you think about how we came to this country, as we've talked about already, we didn't have an identity. We were stripped of everything that made us individuals, our tribes, our people, our lands. We didn't have any of that. Our languages, we weren't allowed to speak our native languages. So if you think about that,
so very true,
and you're with your people and your slaves, or if you're not slaves, but you might as, you know, how in history, even now, the prison system is considered slavery. You just want to stick together. And I think the sense of community back then was more based on survival, and that was what was important. So survival was what I would say would be the first one.
Absolutely, that's one we both agree on, one for sure.
As far as, let me think of the second one. I think
survival. When you feel some type of responsibility for your people and your kind, like black, I lived in Houston and I saw the actual Black Wall Street, and I fathom how much honor, not even pride, honor I would have had knowing that my community and people, we're investing in ourselves and we're getting it done and we're not taking any fucking handouts. And this black love right here is unbreakable and you can't shake it. Number two is the food that we're fed. And I don't just mean that the physical food, because the physical food that we're fed is just
tremendous. Yeah, that it is.
Like in the 80s and 90s, whenever they created like Similac, you know what that is? The formula. Baby formula is supposed to replace a woman's breast milk. Right? But let me tell you something that's so... So mind you, I don't just mean the physical food, but let me tell you something that is just so heinous. You ever heard of a mammy?
Yeah. Yeah.
From slavery?
Yeah.
You want a mammy?
What's a mammy? It's like is it like a wet nurse kind of? Like when the white woman would have the child and the black woman would be the one to nurse and take care of the young white babies.
Let me tell you why that is the case. Genetically, they knew who was superior. This is not a fucking debate, nor will it ever be, because the facts simply clearly show it. On average, by far, black women's breast milk have higher protein and nutrient benefits to offer a child. That's just fact. On average, black women have the best breast milk. That's not a question. That is the same reason why they had black mammies. So a lot of these pale skins we see, they got a little bit of us running in them. And we think, how are these white boys dunking all of a sudden? Oh no.
Now we know.
No, they've been systematically doing their best to be on our fucking level for quite some time. So just to make it like really interesting, one of the reasons why the racism led to where we're at today, the same reason why we're called monkeys, like the same reason why, like everything that they're trying to express towards us is ultimately what they are. And I think number two has to be the food that's been fed to us. Again, not just beyond the physical food, like the Similac, and finish that point. The Similac is based off of a white woman's breast milk. Like her fat to like protein ratio is different than a black woman's. Okay. But the Similac, the shit that is being spread throughout the ghettos and the hoods, is that. So these children who are being developed and raised off of these fake part of, like, they're not fake technically, but off of these things that just aren't in our balance. They're not harmonious with us at all. Like, it makes a lot of fucking sense why we have drive-bys. You know what I mean? Because not having that pure connection to our mother's breast milk and the food, the physical food that's killing us, the one that is fucking us the most is the psychological. The reason why right now I can turn on a radio and probably hear somebody say, I'm a fucker and I'm a pastor to my bro. Somebody's probably going to say, once, like Lil Baby said, once I nut, you can go ahead and leave. Another song could probably say, not a fucking other song, another movie probably looks like, man, so many beautiful black films in the 90s. Shout out to those. But there's some of them that express the idea of what an attractive man looks like. And I was listening to this in a talk called The Grapevine. I can't wait to put you on. They're amazing. It's all black panel. They discuss all amazing topics. But one of the things that came up was, in media, we've been mind-fucked. And our idea of what love looks like, to get back to that point, and our idea of what relationships look like, are so tainted and wicked and warped and evil. And every young girl I can imagine wants to have the love from her daddy. And every young boy wants to feel the love of his mother as well. And then to take that and make it vice versa. Yeah. The reason why I think that what we've been fed is doing a huge part of the damage, definitely the survival part, I think that played a part, no doubt. And now that we see so many female rappers and this and that, like, what did Shorty say, like, in that song? It was a popular City Girl song. She's like, talking about how she don't care, she don't need a man, she doesn't care about a man, da da da, like she can get her own money, rah rah rah.
I don't know, I can't think of it off the top of my head.
I support the idea of women's empowerment, right? At one point in time, I thought I was a feminist. You want to know when I realized I wasn't really a fucking feminist? Oh my God, I can't wait to tell you. You want to know? I'm going to tell you when I realized I wasn't a feminist. And I thought I was because I'm like, obviously I'm not on my own high horse of ego. I want every woman to be empowered for equal opportunity, not equal outcome. But equal opportunity to get shit done. Because you, if you try to control outcomes, then you fuck shit up. But at least opportunity. I was having lunch with my, with the girl I was dating at the time. And her and I had a mutual friend who was a little bit darker than me. Beautiful. Oh, beautiful brown skin. And she had like, her eyes were like a medium brown. So they weren't dark brown. They were like right above that color skew so that no matter where you, if you looked at her at any type of lighting, you could tell she had light brown eyes. Beautiful black woman. We were sitting at this table and she said to me, "You're not a feminist." I was like, "I'm not." She was like, "No, we don't support feminism." I was like, "What are you talking about?" She took the time to express to me how, for one, feminism was not created or developed for us or by us. Secondly, she took the time to express to me how she is a womanist. And for me, I love to have my mind expanded on things that are closer to realness and things that are authentic. And she said to me, "We're being fed this idea of feminism. Like, it's a patriarchy, so all women for women." I'm gonna be honest, it's really not like that at all. A womanist, as she goes to explain, is someone who is intentional on their own independent individual development. But a womanist, to even claim the idea of womanist, to be whole in herself, she also is intentional on her man and her family unit. So that's a big major difference between the feminist, because the feminist is like, We're just women and we want to just, because we're women. A womanist is like, "I'm doing this not just for my fucking, my damn self. I'm doing this also in addition to my man, who is important for my household." So the survival aspect is super relevant, super valid, even to this day. And then the intentional disruption of our households. As if it hasn't already been happening for fucking hundreds of years. But in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and I would say like the beginning of the 80s.
Yeah, definitely.
Beginning of the 80s, there was community, as you said, and there were certain things that were starting to hold us together and glue us together, even though a lot of us were indoctrinated and we spoke just like this, and we wanted to get into that white man's office. Right. You understand? We were still black, and we still went back to our black community on the other side of the railroad tracks. So, shout out to all the rich black people in the past 50 years. But anyway, what we've been fed has been killing us, too. It's sad because I remember, I'm going to end on this one. I dated a beautiful, voluptuous black woman. We were about the same age. It was like 2 years ago. She had only dated like hood niggas, quote unquote, hood niggas, right? So this was I was a culture shock for her, because I'm not sweet, but I'm also a sweetheart, and I'm very pure and I'm very genuine, and I know how to put my ego in its place and lead with my heart. Which is a much higher vibration. To lead with love is a very high vibration. That's not the common one, sadly. So the first time she met me, we met at a job. This was like really going to just give you an idea of what I've experienced. We met at this job. It was the first day. I wasn't very talkative because like it's the first day and I'm not here to make friends. But long story short, by how it happens, me and her ended up spending time together. And we were having a conversation. She said to me, "Even when I first met you, I thought you were so psycho. I was like, what? She was like, mind you, this is right after I broke up with my ex-girlfriend at the time. So she said to me, I thought it was so funny. She was like, you seem like the type to only date white girls. And I was like, that's crazy. I just broke
she
up
with she read you. White girl. She knew.
Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, yeah. Now I look back and, like, you know, she was a very intuitive woman. Very. It seems to be I continuously attract very powerful women. Whether they know it or not, I do attract very powerful women. But anyway, that's boom. She even took it a step further just to fuck with me. She was like, I don't know, the way you was acting like you didn't want to talk to me, I thought she was gay. It's like, I wasn't paying her no mind. So for her and for some girls, if you don't pay them any mind, it's like there's either something wrong with you, you like you gay, or you stuck up, or you something like that. And that's sad because that's the range of what certain people view their reality as. Like, either you're feeding my ego or you're a fucking weirdo. That's bizarre to me how limited some people are, but it's a real thing.
I never thought about that.
So a month later, that shit real. A month later, she said, mind you, we did have sex on numerous occasions and we did spend a lot of time together. But a month later, after said experiences and great conversation and just a month of spending time together, she was like, mind you, she had an actual father. She also had a stepfather who was a bit more relevant in her life, who was a hood nigga. But he, you know, he had like a job and had it somewhat together, whatever. And her father, her actual father, was also a businessman, but he was his type of way. So she had male figures in her life. It wasn't anything new. But a month after knowing her, she said, you know what? You're actually the manliest man I've ever met in my life. I didn't know how to process that outside of just realizing, like...
So wow. What deciphered you in terms of being manly? Like, what does she mean by that?
Okay, so recently having a conversation with her, actually me and her caught back up a few months ago. And I really wanted to understand what she was talking about. So when she met me, this is when I was managing a kickboxing gym on the north west side of the city. I was managing two, actually. But I was there, so she got a chance to see my work ethic. Because we both started working at like a restaurant job, but I was also still doing kickboxing. And she got a chance to see my character, see how I handle situations. I'm a passion-led person, but I'm not an emotional person. If you can imagine like a picture of the ocean cut in half. Like, you know how you see the picture of like an iceberg and you see the levels of... So imagine that. Imagine the surface level is what feelings are. The feelings can be huge waves or it could be still water. And then emotions are at the depth. Your emotional well-being will make those waves at the top. So if your emotional well-being is negative down here and you're holding on to hard and dark things at the very dark bottom of the ocean, at the top, it's not going to be peaceful, stable, or calm. So for me, I was peaceful, stable, and calm. Mm-hmm. That's just one of the traits of my character, and just who I am as an individual. Who she got a chance to know, me just being very pure. You know, when I would tell her no, I don't want to drink, I don't want to drink, or me telling her no, I don't want to smoke, I don't want to smoke. I don't even know if I could tell you the full extent, but I know she meant that with her heart, and from what she told me, she experienced. She knew me to be a plant-based vegan. She knew me to stand tall on who the fuck I say I am and not fold at all. Like, there was nothing that was going to make me switch up. I wasn't going to be sweet to you one day and treat you like shit tomorrow. Like, no, if I fuck with you, I fuck with you. So for me to experience that, she was a little hood, a little bit. She had a hood booty, a little bit. But, that just said a lot to me about how our culture, whatever culture we have, our music and everything, how it's really twisted our minds. And for a lot of us in our home environments, it doesn't look like any place for us to learn love. It doesn't look like any place for us to learn what a healthy two-parent household looks like. I have no fucking idea what
that looks like. I don't either.
I have a multitude of examples outside of myself that I can study from and listen to. I have friends who are married. I have friends who are, who have both parents. And I can study these things, you know? But I have no fucking clue.
Yeah. And ultimately, and where do we look for that type of support and that type of understanding? For me, it's like I have to learn through these difficult experiences, like you mentioned. I mean, your experience that you were just discussing wasn't necessarily bad, but you think, based on what she said, it sounds like stability is important to a lot of people, and that's common. And knowing yourself and having that self-worth and being really strong and secure in who you are as well as what you stand for. So I think those are traits and characteristics that we generally as people look for, and especially Black people.
All right, here's the final question for the night. You said the perfect thing to crescendo into this. So with that being said, that's what we want. That's our intentions for the most part. I'm going to say this very vulgarly. How the fuck do we keep that, have it, maintain it, when we walk outside and all it takes for us to do is jog down the street and be gunned down? Or for us to be on our knees with our hands up and still be gunned down? How the fuck do we have that stability? How do we cultivate any of the things that we're discussing amidst, fuck, we don't even have to go outside. There are people, God rest her soul, Breonna Taylor, there are people who can be asleep and end up with 8 fucking gunshots. 8. And she was trying to provide for her family and have some type of stability too, with all of the natural human imperfections and issues she had, as well as that man who was doing what he should have been doing. If I heard a crick, crack, and a bang, I'm gonna get my strap and I'm gonna make sure my family's straight. Exactly what I would do. Boom! They blasted him too. So what? In your mind, how does one process? Here is my village. Here are these people who are constantly trying to burn it down, who are trying to ruin the soil from our farm, who are trying to taint the water that my children drink. Like, how the fuck do we do that?
I think that's kind of like, it's kind of the impossible question. I mean, it's not, I mean, I can theorize, we can theorize, but I really think the most important thing.
What have you seen recently? Let's bring it to that. What have you seen recently has been progressive acts towards like standing on a firm foundation?
Okay, so in with all these protests since George Floyd's death, rest in peace, I think just to see this unity that we have as a community have, and I haven't seen that type of unity in my lifetime. So I think if you look back in history, the 60s and 70s, the time when the Black Panthers were on the rise before they were dismantled by the FBI, we are coming back. We are getting back to that point where our unity, that's the only thing I can think of that is so big and so huge. And that's the first step to everything, because we haven't been united, and this will, you know, this pain is something we have in common, varying degrees of pain, but we all share this within different levels of pain. So
do you think anyone outside of us can, and I don't mean the idea of allies, I mean like literally, do you think that anyone outside of our community can really actually help us? Or do you think that this is a situation that we need to deal with ourselves?
I think we need to look to people who really know their shit. People, black leaders who mm-hmm. know what we need, who have studied mm-hmm. this, who we can look to and trust, and we need to let them speak and let them decide what we as a collective need. Because necessarily, you know, the population, we can think and we can theorize, like I said, all day, but there are people who have studied this as their mm-hmm. life's work, and I think we need to put our trust into those people to relay that information to the big wigs or the white people of society to get what we really need for equity, not for equality, mm-hmm. because we want equity. We need more in society. We need that reparation. That reparations. But on a serious note, I think there's a lot that needs to be done in terms of systemic things that we necessarily can't control, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the idea of reparations is a legitimate idea? I mean, if I'm not mistaken, the Jews received didn't they?
They definitely did, but what did we get? Nothing. right.
Section 8? I mean, Section 8.
And we still are criminalized and shit on by white society for accepting any type of help.
Yeah, it definitely, like, I've been in a position where I was like, damn, maybe food stamps, but I was like, I don't know, I think there's a special type of pride that I held for quite some time about receiving help from the government, and up until this point, it's been succeeding, even to the point where I was homeless once, for like half a day, and I was like, oh, this isn't for me. I was like, hey, bro, I'm in a situation. Can you help me? He's like, bro, I got you. So beyond that situation, I mean, honestly, whatever things we could probably come up with that the government has, quote unquote, given us, has severely come with consequences and aspects to that contract of give and take that are just fucking us. And what I mean by that is, like, okay, you know, we're gonna help you guys build stores, but on every corner it's gonna be a fucking liquor store. We're gonna help you guys have grocery markets and set up some type of sustainability in your ghettos, but it's gonna be a food desert, and mm-hmm. you're gonna have to make mm-hmm. it work. Oh, and the only real corporations we're gonna allow out here are the ones that are going to kill you. So you're going to have your Popeyes, and you're going to have your churches, and you're going to have your Chick-fil-A,
right?
You know, but oh god, I don't even want to say McDonald's. And you're going to have these things, but they're going to kill you slowly but surely.
I completely agree. It's like everything they give us, and by they I mean the government, it's a double-edged sword. So they'll give us food stamps, like you said, and we'll be damned to these ghettos. And we'll give you jobs a little bit, and it'll be out of reach, and public transportation won't want to go into your neighborhoods. We'll give you representation in the media, but, oh, it's going to be controlled by white media and white corporations who want you to see black people how they want you to see black people.
That can get to a certain nerve mm-hmm. if I allow it, because we're being blatantly disrespected every fucking waking moment of our lives, and to sit and have a hee hee ha ha moment in my household with the black mm-hmm. people that are around me, and all I have to do is turn on my phone or open up, watch a certain film or whatever may have you, turn on the news, and there's lies and deceit and there's bullshit and there's evil.
And man, even worse than the things that you see on TV, man, is that there are people, not even just white people, that eat that shit up. It's other minorities, other than black people, yeah, that eat this shit up, and they really think that's how, yeah, we are. They see the token black person in the TV show, or they see the rioters and looters on TV, and they don't want to take any black people serious. Or they see George Floyd being murdered in cold blood on TV, and they take the cop's side. I mean, what? So, it's always our fault.
I've seen that.
It's always our fault, no matter what bizarre. We do. You know, anything we do.
It's like we put ourselves in that situation.
No matter what, we're always in the position for them to criticize. We're always in the position for them. I mean, the only time they weren't criticizing us was when we were working on their plantations for free. So, and yeah, we and yeah, even then,
we were still
good. Yeah, that is true.
So with as much disparity and everything going on, to this last point, what for you, what tools, what instruments, what thoughts, what ideas, what concepts keep you through this time, through this day and age, today? What kept you today?
Let's see. I've been struggling with my mental health lately, so I had a scare, to put it in simple terms, with my life.
Thank you for sharing.
And just to see rock bottom and to see that there was nowhere else that I could go but up from there, and then to look around the world and realize how much privilege I have, and to realize how much I can do with my voice, and how much I'd been wallowing in my own self-pity. You know, of course my problems are real, but there are people dying on the streets.
Yeah, but you also need to process your own.
Yes.
Or else you're no help to anyone. And that's a very weird place for us as millennials to be. Gotta admit it. Because older heads are like, you're spoiled and you're da da da. And I was like, it's a fucking pandemic. Oh my god. You know, so
it's like, and it's right.
It's like, have some sympathy, you sick bastard. You know what I mean? It's like, when I went to school, I had to catch 3 buses and walk 5 miles
in the
with
snow.
Grandpa. That's not true. That's not true at all.
And it also was like, college would cost like $50. So, and you could buy a house with a minimum wage job. And it the stress of our...
That's
a completely different discussion, but the stress that we face is just enormous. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Can you hear me? I'm curious about so yoga and meditation. Okay. Let's get on that for a moment. That works for you.
Yeah, it does.
I'm an avid meditator. I love teaching yoga, doing guided meditation. Some of the other podcasts that I've created are just that. So for you, what would you call those? Or what would you call those tools? Would you say those are just practices? Would you say those are rituals?
I refer to them as coping mechanisms for just the stress in the world and just the stress within my own mind and body. They're just a little vacation that you can take in your house and you can go anywhere you want. And it's not free, but it's the cheapest vacation you'll ever take. So
that's facts. No, you're right. It's not free, because one of the successful rewards of a 10-minute, 20-minute yoga meditation is sacrificing the noise. I definitely know in many different times of my life, the noise is what helped me get through it. Because if I stopped for a moment and I tuned out the noise and I actually listened to my own thoughts, I would have had to process certain things and deal with them. And you know what? Just really, I'm very thankful that you shared that with me and shared that with everyone listening, because a person can say that in the midst of everything going on, what's been helping me keep my mind together is that I pray, is that I meditate, that I ensure, I realize that this is only a body and that this is only a lifetime and that my spirit is eternal and one with God and godliness. And my actions and my karma reflect me being wholesome and loving. So that in a conversation like this and a great opportunity to have this talk with you, it's meaningful, it's powerful, it's intentional. And we're not adding chaos, we're adding order in midst of chaos. Mm-hmm. I think that that requires an incredible and an extraordinary level of courage that you have. So thank you so much for joining me today, joining me tonight, and blessing everyone who has the opportunity to listen with just understanding, like, there's more to the pain. There's more to, thankfully, when we were younger, there's things that we didn't know that we didn't know, but something kept us, you know, something kept us. And even in those times, slowly but surely, we've been drawing closer and closer to this moment, closer and closer to that inward love, closer and closer to that faith in our people. I believe now myself, I can look down a street and see Black people and not assume that they're robbers, gangsters, killers, or drug dealers. That there was a time frame when I would think like a European. Yeah. And it was sad and it was sick. It was because ultimately I was still battling with the fact that I was viewed that way.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Word.
But at the end of the day, you know, sometimes it's great to just talk about it and just speak on it. And that's exactly what we did.
Of course.
Thank you.
Of course.
So much for joining. This was an amazing experience. A lot of clarity that I think anyone listening, their mind's probably going, they're probably thinking. And that's exactly what we want. We want answers and we want people to have the courage to speak up, because for a very long time we haven't spoken, regardless of the hue of our skin. So I'm very grateful to see so many people speak. You know, one of my favorite songs off of Jhené Aiko's recent album is called Speak. And the crystal sound bowl she uses in that song, is the note for it is an E. I have a Tibetan bowl that's also a note E. I recommend to anyone, you know, a crystal sound bowl makes a world of a difference. Meditation and yoga makes a world of a difference. Healthy eating and healthy living makes a world of a difference also, more than what we've been told. So like I said, the food that we've been given literally is killing us. When we take all of that stress and those toxins and that waste and we detox it out and we put in harmonious, peaceful, nourishing things that are natural for our bodies, we also change. You know, when I went plant-based, my mood, my emotions, everything changed. And I don't think that if I didn't put that work in, we would be having this conversation. So I'm like super grateful for how everything is processed up until this point right now.
Oh yeah, I definitely appreciate you having me here and giving me a safe space to discuss issues that are very real and very unavoidable in this world. So it's nice to have somebody who not only understands, but gives me a chance to speak on these things. So I appreciate you and everything you do.
So on that note, we're going to conclude. Thankful for all of the imaginary sponsors. And thank you.